Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Take Human Action PA episode 31. I'm Calvin, I'm your host. Why don't you reintroduce yourself, Jamie?
Jamie Martin, I'm here for the second time.
There you go. Back to back. So how are you feeling today?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Not bad. I'm excited for our guest today. This has been a long time coming. We've been trying to schedule this for about a month now. But since we are on the last episode before the convention, early bird registration ends for the LPPA on the 15th, which is this coming Sunday, I do have to mention, definitely get yourself registered for the convention if you haven't already. It's in Reading, Pennsylvania, March 3rd through 5th. The link for the convention website is in the comments below, so definitely check that out.
We have an exciting group. There's Dave Smith, Maj Tor, whatnot, and you have to make sure that you get those in now in order to get the good prices on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Just going up from here.
I'll be at all the events, so you'll see me there, and I'm sure most of us will be at the events as well up in the caucus, and it'll be a good time. It always is. This will be Dave's third year coming out to PA, so I'm really psyched for that. And we got Shane Hazel too. We talked about his campaign a couple episodes ago. Yep, so that'll be a good time. All right, so now let's get on to our guest, who will also be attending the convention. In fact, he will be seeking a position at the convention. So if you are there and you don't know him already, you'll definitely run into him there. So he is the current secretary for the Libertarian Party of Bucks County. He is also on the Judicial Committee for the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania. He is a former now state Senate candidate, and he is your Ron Swanson at 911 Dispatch. He is Brandon Bentram. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey there, fellas. Good to see you. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, good to see you. So since this is your first appearance on the show, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into libertarian ideas, and what made you come out to the Bucks meeting for the first time?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, libertarian thought and principles have been something that has caught my eye for a very, very long time. You know, I come from a family of mixed politics, but, you know, that primarily, like most families, means Democrats and Republicans, and it's about there. But I was lucky to be able to make some friendships with people who were a little bit outside of the, you know, duopoly kind of spectrum. And so ran into some people who challenged me a little bit with some libertarian thought, and the more that I challenged my, you know, pre-existing notions, I really kind of fell in love with it. There's a lot of beauty there. You know, I would say probably my earliest exposure that really kind of had a hook in me was reading Ayn Rand, which I know sometimes can be a little bit controversial, and, you know, sometimes can seem a little bit silly to people who are really far into libertarianism. But, you know, from there, it was a good jumping off point where I've got a lot of admiration for the other thoughts and leaders in the movement, both past and present. And here I am. You know, I jumped in several years ago and I'm really happy to have found a home here. I hope that others can come and find a home here too in the near future.
Well, so what made you aware of the existence of the party or the existence of the party in Bucks County? What made you interested in coming out there?
Well, so I kind of became more aware of libertarianism as a party and as a movement and as an idea through a couple of things. Number one would be my work and my volunteerism with different Second Amendment groups. I'm very proud to be a gun owner, and I lawfully own many firearms. Sometimes my friends will ask me how many I have, and I'll fire back, well, how many pairs of high heels does your wife have? You know, trying to come up with an actual number on that can be a little bit tricky at times. But yeah, so that kind of helped to give me some exposure, and where I got a real taste of it, especially a lot of, you know, really like far, you know, into the movement, you know, Second Amendment advocacy groups and blogs online at the time, before there was like a whole lot of things like streaming, YouTube, et cetera. Podcasts weren't really on the scene yet. And it sparked enough interest that I kind of started looking out there. And then more recently, you know, within the last like 5 years, when podcasting really came onto the scene and then lockdowns were starting to happen, I was really interested in a couple of different libertarian podcasts. There was Lions of Liberty I was very interested in, Tom Woods, eventually found Dave Smith and Robbie the Fire Bernstein on Part of the Problem, really big fan of them. And also a big fan of debate. I love arguing, love arguing. I think it's the best way to be able to hone and challenge your thoughts and your beliefs, and if you don't challenge them, they're not very firmly held. And so Gene Epstein, who runs the Soho Forum, I really, really admire him. I haven't been to a single one in person yet, and I desperately want to. I admire the man so darn much, but I've listened to as many of them as I can track down online, and that very much is something that I'm, you know, into. And so that's really kind of what got me to finally jump and say, hey, I should be a part of that instead of just, you know, admiring it from afar. So here I am now, jumped in with both feet and happy to be involved both on the county level here in Bucks County on the executive committee and on the state level with the judicial committee, and trying to also help within the Mises caucus.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
but a massive influx almost all at once. It was crazy how it worked out.
Sure,
yeah, we're glad to have you.
Yeah,
well,
happy for you to
I
be
hope
here.
Somebody is.
All right, sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
So one of the things that I definitely really wanted to get into tonight was you had just recently gone through a Senate campaign race inside of Pennsylvania, and I know it was a little bit of a contentious thing, and I'd like you to walk us through exactly how that went.
Yeah. If you haven't run for public office, I recommend you think about it, because it was quite the experience. And we're fortunate here in the Libertarian Party, particularly here in LP Bucks County, that we have a lot of really high quality individuals. And we're growing, we're seeing so much growth, which makes my heart just really, really happy. But we still are looking for more of those quality people to be able to put into positions where they can run for public office. And there's so much value in that, because it helps to get out our message, it helps to go meet people, it helps to increase our reach, it helps to you know, just really solidify and mobilize our volunteers and help us to really lean on each other. And for me personally, I was able to learn things about myself. Now, if the question is, was it fun? Sometimes, yes. But there was also some really rough stuff. And I can understand how some people would not want to go through what I went through. In particular, the Bucks County GOP was really happy to use some dirty tactics to target myself and my family and make it really personal. And that was difficult. That was the less fun part of it.
Would you be comfortable with maybe expanding upon exactly what they did to try to halt your campaign there?
Pretty crazy story there.
Yeah, well, so at the time, it also bears mentioning that they were coming pretty hard against several of our candidates in the county. And they were happy to use whatever tactics they thought were most effective to go after the different individuals, whether that means dragging them through court, if they think that they can just throw a bunch of money at the problem and make the candidate go away, or whether that means, like in my case, where they're sending people to my home. And so I had the unpleasant experience of having a couple of very unwelcome visits by a private investigator that was hired on behalf of unknown people that he wouldn't say exactly who he was working for, but was able to say, well, yeah, you know, I come from the GOP. And, concerned members of the GOP, I believe, is the way that he kind of phrased it. And yeah, they showed up and were stalking my house. They came and they kind of scared my kids. That was very not cool. And even after I made it very clear that he was not welcome on or around my property, he returned after dark at night, unannounced. And also was, sending a bunch of messages, trying to blow up my phone, text messages, voicemails, and everything. And I ended up actually calling a neighbor who was a good, really, really good sport, said, "Hey, listen, I got this guy who is coming back to my house again." And, I told him I'd meet him at the street and tell him to go away one last time. But, do you think you might be able to help me out? And man, just like that, I had multiple neighbors who came down and were able to, play witness and kind of back me up while telling this guy to get lost. And that's only part of it, Then on top of that, there was shenanigans on election day. There were stuff online. There were attack ads. I was so proud. I merited my first personal attack ad where they had my name and I think actually a very flattering picture of me that they ripped off online, and it said, "Brandon Bentram is a fake conservative," to which I answered, where am I advertising that I'm a conservative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I knew it all along.
so where what angle do you think that a lot of these attacks were coming from? Do you think that you threatened the Republican Party? Did you threaten the Democratic Party? What do you think was playing out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't speak to what the billable hours are for hiring private security firms to go and harass individuals and their families over multiple days, nights. I don't know exactly how long he was stalking my house on the street or anything like that. But, if you're expending those resources towards somebody, I'm sure that it does add up over time. If you're creating attack ads and media and directing people to go and attack them, it's certainly not because of somebody that you don't see as a threat. And if they did see me as a threat, I think that it's very interesting that, as is my experience with a lot of Democrats, you need somebody who's deeply entrenched in the Democrat Party. And they'll tell you that anytime a Libertarian is running, they only take away votes from Democrats. And then if you talk to somebody that's in the Republican Party, you find out that they think, well, that Libertarians only go take away votes from Republicans. Whereas my experience was I feel like I earned every vote that I got. Mm-hmm. And one of the really touching experiences I had on election day multiple times was having individuals who were registered Libertarians. And I was standing by the door and I was greeting thousands of people that day. I would start off and say, hey, my name is Brandon Ventrum, and I'm running for Pennsylvania State Senate. And don't worry, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm a Libertarian candidate, and I hope that I can talk to you and ask for your vote today. And a lot of times I'd get kind of like a, you know, some people would just say, you know, no, thank you, and were polite and would walk along. You know, there were a couple of people who probably were just having a bad day and maybe gave a little bit of a less polite response moving along. Lots of people that would say, oh, well, you know, tell me a little bit about this or that. And the responses that I alluded to that really made me happy was people who their eyes would get real big and they'd light up and they'd say, I'm a Libertarian. I didn't think I'd have somebody to vote for today. I'm just here to make sure that I get to vote. Mm-hmm. And I would really, really love to direct anybody who's in one of the establishment, you know, kind of parties to go talk to them and tell them about how my being there was stealing their vote away from a Democrat or Republican, because they didn't have any intention in voting for either of them. It was going to be right in Mickey Mouse.
Well, yeah. Since you mentioned that, I do want to go into a related subject while also answering the audience question that just popped up. So this is our illustrious chair, Rob Coburn. I do want to point out before you answer that we did have a number of people in 2022 abandon the GOP and come to the Libertarian Party, even just in Bucks County. In fact, I think our most recent example of someone who left the Republicans to come join the Libertarians. He was an incumbent. What's the exact name of the position? He's on the borough council, I believe. Yeah. So Joe Adams, I believe, was his name. I got a chance to meet with him. He was very, very nice, very polite, seemed very enthusiastic about joining us. So why don't you tell us about your experience on that end and meeting him and having him talk about the GOP versus the LP?
Yeah, well, I don't want to take too much of that because, frankly, I think that Joe would be an amazing future guest to come on here. I would love for him to be able to tell things in his own words. But Joe Adams, he's a borough councilman in Pendale Borough, which is right like in like central, like lower Bucks County. Pendale Borough is like kind of, you know, people who kind of know Bucks County, it's close to like Langhorn, that general area. If you ever heard of Sesame Place, it's like stone's throw from there. Really quaint, beautiful little town. And Joe is an example of the best that the GOP has. And I was once, you know, full disclosure, I was once registered Republican, you know, that's in my past. Go ahead and pull the public records. You know, I'm not ashamed of my past registration. What I'm ashamed of is that I fell for the lies that the Republican Party leadership tells. And they tell people lies like they're pro small government. And they tell people lies like they are pro Second Amendment. And they tell these lies that they want to support businesses. And the truth is that we've had, you know, we haven't had a big spending bill that Republicans don't love to jump on and vote for, you know, especially when it's right up against a, you know, one of those dreaded government lockdowns. Or shutdowns, I'm sorry, I misspoke, not lockdowns, government shutdowns. You know, oh, heaven forbid that the government could shut down. And, you know, it doesn't really shut down now, does it? You know, what do? They go and they look for the opportunities to close things that inconvenience voters. So we've got, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of acres of public parks. But, you know, as soon as there's a budget crisis, and there's a shutdown, well, those are closed because there's no way that people could go and walk around and look at Buffalo and Yellowstone without, you know, the government watching over us, you know. And, you know, they look and they try to lay off a whole bunch of, you know, government workers. And, well, you know, Like, that's unfortunate, and I feel for people who are trying to feed their families. But guess what? If you've got a government job, you've got one of the most stable incomes that you could possibly imagine. And a lot of those people are very happy to, you know, execute their duties when it comes to government signing bills or enforcing legislation or regulations that shut down or close down family businesses. They close down private businesses, mom and pop shops, private entrepreneurs. And, you know, that's severely damaging. And I never see these government workers say, oh, well, you know, we need to think about them, until all of a sudden it's just affecting you. Now, is that a natural human reaction where you're kind of looking out for yourself first? I think so. But what are we doing to educate, inform, and teach people to show a little bit more compassion where we're thinking about others? And at the end of the day, if you have a government position, your paycheck is getting paid by everybody, and it's not voluntary. Whereas if you are somebody who's running a landscape business, or you're a tech contractor, or you're a carpenter, or a plumber, or any of the millions of tradesmen who are really important to run this country, those are individuals. The only reason that they're making money is because of voluntary transactions. And when the government goes and gets in the way of that, well, that's just despicable.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Jamie, yeah. You got one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, first we should note what's going on in the comments here. Adam Nutter is definitely going to be at a convention. And if you care about the poor and downtrodden, as they are saying, be sure to get his ticket.
LPPA2023.com. There is a comedy show Friday night. Everybody be there.
Yeah. Definitely. And Adam Nutter is fantastic live. I count him as a friend. He's also on the executive committee for the Libertarian Party of Bucks County. And man, he is just a talented comic, and he's a fun guy. He puts on a great show. If you're going to convention, you need to go to his show. There's just no excuse not to.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about the group, is just that there's talent everywhere. We don't even need to go outside for everything. We can find it within the borders of our own state.
Well, I'd say moving right along here, one of the things that you've really wanted to get into tonight, that we had talked about previously, was that you would like to target the welcoming into the LPPA. And if you could maybe kind of give us a little bit of a work through of how you think that would play out, getting people involved in the LP that are outside of the party.
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think it's an important one to check ourselves and to ask ourselves frequently, is where are our blind sides and where are areas that we can improve in? And we're still at a point where, if you look at a percentage of libertarians in Pennsylvania compared to Democrats or Republicans, we're still very, very small compared to both of those parties. And so that tells me that there's just a lot of opportunity. Now, the question is, how do we start reaching those people? How do we appeal to some of those demographics where we might be a little bit weaker? Because I think that there's just a beautiful message here of voluntarism, of independence, of being able to get the government out of your business and out of your decision making and out of your way that you want to run your family. But how do we appeal to some of those groups that would really like that message if they just knew about it, and also help to make it so that they're comfortable knowing that there are some other groups under our kind of big tent that maybe aren't people that they would hang out with in their private life, but are really valuable allies in this. So, You alluded a little bit earlier that like the attack ad against me in the, you know, in my campaign was that like I was a fake conservative. You know, I mean, I'll freely admit that in my personal life, I'm probably not somebody that people would think of as a typical or stereotypical libertarian. You know, what do you guys think are probably some of the biggest things that people think of with like stereotypical? Oh,
you're not a hot smoking hippie that happens to like low taxes.
I would say from my perspective is that you are not a primary anarchist that runs under the guise of being a libertarian.
Well, we can touch on that too.
You just want it to be legal to do all the vices in the world because you do them yourself and you want it to be justified.
Yeah.
You don't want anyone to stop you.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if we're talking about like uncommon demographics, you know, I'm a religious individual and I faithfully attend church, you know, at least biweekly, but I have a strange unconventional work schedule that makes it difficult for me to say truthfully that I'm there every single week. You know, but guess what? People still dial 911 on Sundays. So I have to work a number of those. That being said, you know, as part of my religious beliefs and my personal beliefs, I don't smoke tobacco. I definitely don't smoke marijuana, nor have I ever. And I don't have any desire to, you know, I haven't had a single drug that hasn't been prescribed by my doctor. And even those I look at with a lot of scrutiny. And I don't even drink alcohol. You know, I don't drink coffee. You know, if we're talking vices, you know, everybody who's watching this, you know, ask yourself, really reflect within. How much money are you spending at Starbucks on a weekly basis?
Are you telling me that you're more conservative than the conservative who attacked you as not being a conservative?
I mean, I can't say that I am. I can't say that I'm not, but I have, you know, if we want to talk vices, you know, probably I was really excited when my wife made dinner this evening. It was BLTs and I really, really love my bacon. I love red meat. I probably eat a little bit too much of it, but you know, and I know maybe Calvin, that's not your thing, but you know, it certainly is for me.
Yeah, I'm sure our diets would be very different. Proof, if nothing else, that libertarians come in all shapes and sizes.
Mm. Yeah, I certainly love my vices, so that is definitely me.
Well, that's a conversation for next week, and I will get into what next week's episode is at the end of the episode, but not right now.
No, of course. But you touched on this a couple of times, so you keep mentioning that you have a certain religious faith, and some people might be unfamiliar with it, but you are a Mormon, and I don't know. I would imagine that half of our audience doesn't even really know what that means, or you know what to do with it. So maybe say a little bit about like what that is. And I know that you had said that it kind of plays into how you feel about volunteerism and the LP in general and where it plays into your religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we're also commonly referred to as Mormons, which isn't the name of our church. Doesn't offend me, but yes, you know, we're famous for having additional scripture. We believe in, you know, the Old Testament scriptures. We believe in the New Testament scriptures, and we also have what's called the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants, which is just additional scripture that we have here in our church. So, you know, the real quick view is, you know, one of the very common questions is how many wives do you have? That would be one. And I'm really happy that it's one. We don't do the whole polygamy thing, haven't since the 1800s. You know, the biggest problem with polygamy, fellas, is that if you got more than one wife, you got more than one mother-in-law. And I love my mother-in-law, but I'm happy that I have only one.
That is but, a problem.
But yeah, you know, one of the really, really important things in our faith, though, is that we believe that there is a really, really important purpose to be here on Earth. And God didn't send us here just because he thought it would be a funny experiment to throw us all on one planet, you know, have us forget anything that happened before we came here and were born, and just have us figure it out and just see what happens. It's not a battle royale. It's not a cruel experiment. You know, there is a purpose for it. And that purpose is that one of the most sacred, important things that we have is free agency or free choice. And we need to be able to come here to be able to have an opportunity to make choices for ourselves. And some of us are going to make really great choices, you know, and they're going to find opportunities to help and to serve others and to serve like Jesus Christ did when he was here on earth. And other people are not going to make such great choices, and they're going to find themselves, you know, draining their family or their friends or alienating them. And, you know, that's sometimes a real challenge, but it is so important and critical that we all have that opportunity to make those choices, because you can't take that away from somebody. So, you know, we're really kind of here to be tested a little bit. And if you have government stepping in, you have government saying you cannot make this choice, or you have to make another choice, well, that's really kind of interfering with people's ability to have free agency, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so, since the subject has come up, I'm curious. I'm assuming you know something about this. The actual history of the Mormons, particularly when it comes to the early days and their relationship with the government. So the history there is very fascinating. So how much do you know about that?
Well, so the Mormons have the distinction of, you know, having been, you know, prosecuted by the government. And at one point in time, there was a Mormon war, and we didn't lose. So being part of a faith that went to war against really more the United States government went to war against us, and we managed to tough it out, that's a source of pride for me.
Yeah, they formed their own nation state, did they not?
That is correct. Yeah, you know, really, at the time in the early 1800s, there was a lot of conversions and baptisms and movement where people were joining the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And a lot of that actually happened here in Pennsylvania. And at the time, a lot of the Pennsylvanians really didn't like it. And so a lot of the saints moved, you know, westward. And at the time, westward wasn't like Arizona, California yet. This was still really early in United States history. And so they actually found themselves in places like, you know, Illinois and then Missouri. And things got to a head where, you know, the saints were kind of gathering and you know, really concentrated area. And the governor of Missouri actually issued an extermination order for the Mormons. And that actually did not get rescinded until, I want to say, like the 1970s or something like that, like some absurdly late date. Yes.
That's much worse than those laws you hear about, like women can't live together in Pennsylvania because it's like a brothel law or something. That's like a much bigger oversight than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a lot of religious persecution, and eventually the saints all kind of packed up and moved out west and settled.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
near the Great Salt Lake, and eventually, you know, created what is now today the state of Utah. And so it really was an interesting kind of little chapter in American history where they really didn't want the Mormons. The Mormons left. They made their own nation state. And then eventually, as the United States had westward expansion, eventually they said, well, you know, maybe we'll think about it, just because they happen to be there, and it would be really hard to get them out of there. Because, you know, if you're somebody who likes guns, we're responsible for John Moses Browning, so you're welcome. And, you know, yeah, we kind of got a reputation on that one. And so, you know, I'm a convert to the faith, but I'm very proud of that chapter in my faith's history to have been able to stick it out through extreme adversity.
Yeah. So a couple other things about that story that I've read up on my own. That's the first was when they gathered in, I believe it was Nauvoo, Illinois.
Nauvoo.
When they left, they eventually made their way over to Salt Lake City on much of the same route, and at the same time as there was mass migration on the Oregon Trail in like the mid 1840s through like the 1850s. And unlike with the other pioneers that were not Mormons and are going to like Oregon and California, a lot of times what they did is some of the, you know, relatively speaking, wealthier pilgrims would take their wagon trains like everybody else, but some of the other pilgrims who had nothing would just use self-pulled hand carts, and they would be funded by Mormons across the country. They would basically gather money and give it to pilgrims leaving from like the Mississippi River just so they could get their stuff together and move over there. So they formed like a basically a private charity in a way that didn't really exist for any of the other groups of settlers traveling around the same time.
That's correct. And that spirit of pioneer individuals who were willing to go, and some of these, you know, when you say some of these people were impoverished, it's important, I think, to recognize they weren't impoverished by our standards today. You know, these weren't individuals who, like, you know, only had like a couple of pairs of shoes and had a hard time sometimes, you know, funding their Netflix account. You know, these were sometimes individuals who were leaving the East Coast of the United States with maybe one pair of shoes, maybe just rags on their feet. You know, the kids most certainly didn't have it, and they're willing to walk from, you know, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, all the way, pushing hand carts the whole way, all the way out to Utah, Idaho, you know, sometimes all the way out to California. And there was a lot of sacrifice to be able to do that. And the only way that a lot of them were able to do that was with voluntary contributions from members who would help out and say, hey, let's serve others. Let's help them to get here too. Now, on that hand cart history, one of the things that I really, really love is that we really latch onto that in our church. And so I actually volunteered this past summer with what we call as Trek. And we do reenactments for youth in our church all over the country, where we actually get hand pushed, like hand carts, you know, pioneer style, wooden spoked wheels, just a box with a handle on it. And we'll actually do a reenactment for, you know, part of a week, where we have youth from the church, teenage, you know, young men and women who will be grouped into like fake families. And we've got a whole lot of super adult supervision for all of this too. So there'll be like a ma and a pa, and there'll be a handful of kids, and they have to bring all of their belongings and dress in period appropriate clothing. So, you know, we're talking like, you know, button down shirts and like, you know, suspenders and, you know, straw hats and things like that. And we'll go and we'll find a location where we can push a handcart company for miles throughout the day, where they're carrying all their belongings, carrying a cast iron stove, they're carrying food, they're carrying water, they're carrying their clothes, they're carrying a drop cloth kind of style tarp and rope, so they can set up, you know, with some sticks, like a tent to be able to sleep on at the end of the day. And it's an opportunity for them to really kind of get a taste of that. So I helped to organize that for youth all across the Philadelphia area this past summer, and it's a great experience.
Yeah, I remember now that you say it, you showed me a picture of that. That looked really interesting. Like, yeah, you know, even a wagon, like a large wagon with bunks and a built-in stove, like a wooden stove, that would be a luxury for the time. That's like about the best that you could get. So these guys really had nothing compared to what we're used to.
Yeah, it's I mean, you kind of started to get into it a little bit there, but it's something that you seem to pursue in your life is the volunteerism, like going in and participating in your community in every way that you can. And like you said that to me personally, that it was like a large part of your faith that kind of drives you to this. And I wonder if you could let us in on a little bit of what you've done.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it is part of my faith. I can't deny that. You know, like if you even look at the state of Utah, it's called the Beehive State. Yeah. You know, and there's a whole lot of, you know, if you look around, there's a lot of like beehives and the symbolism in there, because everybody wants to be kind of a busy worker bee. But, you know, I did not join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints until I was 18 years old. Well before that, I was involved with different volunteer groups, just because I was raised by parents who taught me that, you know, it was just always good to go and help others and to help out and to pitch in and things like that. So I remember when I was still in, you know, middle and high school, I joined an environmental group and really enjoyed going. It was called Sea Green. And we would go and we would just do like trash pickups. And sometimes we do it along the side of roadways. But my favorite ones were when we would get a bunch of canoes together and we would either go down local creeks or your little estuaries or lakes or something like that. And in fact, sometimes a few times we actually went into the Delaware River with just hundreds of volunteers and a whole bunch of canoes. And we would just go and you paddle for a little bit and you kind of go into the bank, then you stop your canoe, you get out, you pick up a bunch of trash, bring it all into the canoe, bag it up, and then paddle down the river a little bit and repeat the process. And, you know, it, I mean, maybe some people really wouldn't enjoy that, but I've always enjoyed that. And I like being able to look back and say, hey, look, there's an area that I made it just a little bit better. You know, those candy wrappers, they didn't belong there. The straws didn't belong there. The, you know, the bottles, the cans, you know, whatever, fish hooks and lines, you know, why not just leave the place a little bit better than the way we found it? You know, but in addition to that, I also served as a volunteer firefighter for, you know, better part of a decade. I was really proud of that. You know, and the only reason why I stopped is just because when my wife and I were starting our family, I looked around and I saw a whole bunch of other individuals I looked up to in the fire company, and a lot of them would complain about how little they got to see of their kids because it was completely volunteer. And the majority of the fire service here in Pennsylvania is volunteer. You know, a lot of people think like, you know, it is just paid for by the local government. Well, you know, that's true if you're in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, maybe Harrisburg,
some of the more well-populated areas. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and here in Bucks County, we have some fire companies, which are like a mix where they'll have like some paid guys and then they'll have a bunch of volunteers. So they'll have like daytime coverage, for example. but still the vast majority of fire companies in Pennsylvania are all volunteer. And so the only reason I kind of got out of it was because I wanted to be able to be there for my kids while they were young. And yeah, I've got three wonderful daughters, and I've really been enjoying being a dad, and still toy with the idea of getting back into the fire company. But, you know, beyond that, I volunteer my time with, you know, scouting programs. I've been with Boy Scouts, with the Cub Scouts, church youth programs, and obviously volunteer a whole bunch of my time with the Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also Second Amendment organizations, which I mentioned earlier.
One question that I kind of formulated here while we were talking is, what drove you to want to run for the Judicial Committee? How did you end up there, of all places? Because it seems to be one of the most hated places for a position.
Well, you know, through my experiences in, the LPPA JC in the past year, and with serving on the XCOM and Bucks, I can say with a pretty small population, there certainly have been some resignations and vacancies and hesitancies for wanting to even be there to begin with. I guess what drew me to the JC is I believe myself to be a man of principle. And I work really, really hard to live up to the expectations that I have for myself and become the example that I want my daughters to look up to. And I think it's important that we have individuals in judicial committees to be able to be a safeguard against individuals who might be in leadership positions that might be doing things that are not exactly within the scope of their positions, or maybe outside of the bylaws that we've decided on as a group, and just have somebody who can be very, very neutral in looking at that thing and calling the balls and strikes, And by the way, sometimes those individuals might be trying to do something that in their mind they think is right. I don't want to say that every time that there is something that comes before the JC, that it's because somebody necessarily has outright malice, but maybe they just have a different understanding on an interpretation on an issue or something like that. And I do pride myself on being detail oriented. If you talk to some of my friends and my family, instead they might say, he's a little bit uptight. I've got fuel logs in each one of my cars or trucks or vehicles. And heck, give me a couple of minutes to go off camera, I could even get one of those, and I could tell you what I paid for gas for my, Saturn SL1 back in, 2004. and I can tell you where I got the gas, how much it was, and how many gallons I purchased. Wow. But, that's just, I don't know, part of my personality. I come from a very German family, and I don't shy away from that. Instead, I just am a record keeping individual who likes to read, likes to get into the details of things.
Mm-hmm. And you don't like those Polish libertarians, definitely.
No, those Polish libertarians are fantastic. Beautiful, long.
I'm not even sure who you're
referring to. Wonderful hands.
Just trying to throw him a bone at this point.
I am just under half Polish.
Oh. Yeah? Well, I'll share half a pierogi with you next time my wife makes some.
Yeah, conversation for another time.
I'll tell you what. So my wife has Poles in her family, and I love messing with them. But I have to say, if you've never been, there is a wonderful Polish festival outside of Doylestown at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa every year. Is so much fun, and they have such an incredible history to celebrate as a people. And really, like, who doesn't love just having tons and tons of pierogies?
Yeah, if you go and just ask me, I'll tag along.
I didn't even know pierogies were a Polish thing.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I've had my
fill. I'm learning something today.
Oh, some poll you are, Jay.
Yeah, well, I'm not. All right.
Well. There you go. Yeah, I have some interesting stories with my ancestors, too. A conversation for another time. let me ask you this. So early on, within the past two or so years, let's say, but you could say that we in the party and the caucus in particular had like a very specific goal. Like the messaging of the party needs to change. We haven't been going in the right direction. We haven't been making progress. So we're going to, come in large numbers and, inswell the party, bring more people in, change the direction of our messaging, and change the party for the better. And as of May of last year, we've done that. We now have at the state level in Pennsylvania, even the county level slightly before that, and now the national level, we've completely changed the trajectory of the party. We're now, we have better messaging and more than we've ever done, where previously we had basically none. So that's all good. But with that said, when it comes down to us down at the state and county level, sometimes we don't always see what's going on. We don't always see the end results of, where are we going from here? So as someone who's as involved in the party as you are, what would you say keeps you going, keeps you involved and motivated as we continue into 2023?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we're the Mises Caucus is the dog, and we finally caught the ball. Now, what do we do with it? And like you said, cleaning up messaging and be able to get more effective and actual libertarian messaging out there was an important goal. And I think that by and large, we've done pretty well with that, and I'm proud of a lot of that. Now, it's not that hasn't come with some controversy. There's some states that maybe, push things like really close to the edge with, controversy, and sometimes they, ruffle up some feathers. And I think that's okay. I think that we need to have some of that. And that's an important function, even if the content of what they're saying might not necessarily be something that I would have said myself. And I think that maybe I kind of failed to fully answer this earlier. We need to be looking at opportunities to appeal to wider groups and demographics. And, it's important to get individuals, I don't know if I'm the best example or the perfect example, but take me as one going out there and saying, hey, I'm a libertarian and I'm involved, and I'm not a stoner. I'm not a big pothead, but guess what? I've got a whole bunch of friends who are, and they should be able to do that. And let me tell you why. And be able to intelligently talk to people about how damaging the drug war is. And by the way, it's not just damaging to individuals who do drugs, because the child who lost his mother or his father to a long drug, long conviction, and now they're in prison for something that, they had just a little bit too much marijuana on them or something. Well, guess what? That kid who's missing his mom or his dad for sometimes years at a time, well, he's an innocent victim in this. And, would I personally rather mom or dad maybe weren't token up all the time? Sure. But I think that it's a lot less damaging that sometimes mom or dad, responsibly go and have a little bit of grass, and, the rest of the time they love and they care about their kids. Not that there aren't situations where there's abuse, but that's a totally separate conversation. I've known plenty of individuals who use substances very casually and very, I would say as responsibly as one can. And I have no problem with that. Doesn't automatically make you a bad parent, doesn't make you automatically a bad person, doesn't make you automatically a bad employee or a bad member of society. And to throw those people into prison for what are generally nonviolent crimes is really just a terrible mistake. And it's bigger of a mistake than when we tried the whole prohibition on alcohol thing. Now, I'm not somebody who drinks alcohol. And by the way, there are plenty of people who do drink alcohol, and they're not breaking any laws by doing that. And they'll spend all day, every day, completely blasted and, you know, do real damage to their kids. And now sometimes that's a little bit of a different conversation. But the truth of the matter is that legality and morality are two completely separate things. And just because something is illegal, like jaywalking, for instance, there's nothing immoral about crossing an empty street when nobody's around and say you have mobility issues and you're just trying to get back to your home, but it's illegal. And there's nothing illegal about getting totally drunk, sitting at home and ignoring your kids, but I would say that is immoral. And people need to draw a distinction and stop using the government to try to force morals or try to pick and choose what is and is not okay. And so I just want to go and try to reach those individuals who maybe don't fully understand that or maybe haven't been challenged to think about that and say, hey, here's an area where we can get behind a lot of things that you do care about, because how would you like to keep more money in your own wallet? How would you like the money in your wallet to be worth more and stop having the value inflate away? You know, maybe don't lead off with end the Fed, but that's something I definitely am interested in. But it's an education barrier where we need to be able to reach people and say, hey, you know, it's really crazy. I just had to take out a second mortgage to be able to get some more eggs for my refrigerator, feed my kids, you know, and a lot of people are really angry about that. And they don't fully understand the why behind this, why this is happening. And that's why libertarian theory and, you know, Austrian economics are just so beautiful once you're able to teach and educate people about them. You know, and I'm seeing the comment you just pulled up and
from is absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. All I have to say to that as a faithful member is amen. You know, if you're trying to legislate morality, it's just not going to work. You know, look at all the morality that's being legislated and enforced over in Iran right now. And you have people that are being hanged and killed for, you know, running afoul of religious police. You know, and that's another extreme end of things. And that's also immoral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to circle back to, the question from the beginning, I think this is a good comment that sums it up basically. So we're looking to get Mises Caucus Energy back into the party by getting involved in the committees and campaigns. Brandon is not running this year, unfortunately, but campaigns like Brandon's will definitely need help, including in Bucks County and the rest of the counties in the state. Yeah, so the best thing that you can do if you're not already in the caucus is sign up at takehumanaction.com. And if you are already in the caucus, or if you don't intend to sign up as a member of the caucus, but you want to work on a campaign or run as a candidate yourself, sign up at runaslibertarian.com. So that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, and I might challenge you if you're somebody who's watching this and you're interested in freedom or liberty issues or the Libertarian Party, you haven't joined up yet. You know, now is just the absolute best time to do it. You know, it's kind of like that old, you know, adage about, like, you know, trees. You know, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. You know, I feel the same way about getting involved and to try to be able to help to move the metric a little bit more towards individual liberty. You know, there's a whole bunch of really great, you know, things that are out on the internet, you know, with meme culture and everything. And I really enjoy the one with, you know, like the way that people look at libertarians, and it's a guy who's like, holding a bunch of machine guns over, you know, a bunch of like, you know, marijuana plants or something like that, you know, and actual libertarians. And it's a guy who's before council and says, I don't understand why the government could tell me what color I can and cannot paint my garden shed. You know, let's help to show some compassion and help people so that they can just live their lives and be left alone. If you like being left alone, let's help others to be able to have that privilege also.
Yeah. Brandon Bentram, support legalized cocaine. Yeah. Here we are.
Yep. I'll add that to his flyers for the next time he runs for office. Oh,
definitely. I'll say it on video unequivocally. Yes, I support legalizing, as our esteemed president Barack Obama said, a little bit of blow.
Yeah, well, one other campaign issue I want to highlight since it is important. Joiner nullification. We talked about it on the last episode, so we don't need to go into too much detail on it again, but it is very important. That is a very key way to bring unjust laws to heel.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a good friend who sadly moved out of state, Andy, who got kicked off of the Bucks County courthouse property for handing out flyers about jury nullification years ago.
Yeah. Rob was telling us last time that you can't even mention it as a juror, or they'll just invalidate the whole jury and call it a mistrial, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I wonder how many times an attorney could go through and try that trick. How many mistrials are they going to declare before eventually giving in? I guess they probably hold you in contempt.
Across the street from the courthouse and hand out the flyers and make everything a mistrial.
Well, they arrested NJ Weedman for that in New Jersey.
Not being serious. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're getting to an hour here. So do you have anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up here?
Oh, man. You know, just BLTs. If you haven't had one recently, you got to go find yourself some quality bacon, crisp it up real nice. Make sure you got some mayo on there, a nice, fresh, big, juicy tomato. Don't refrigerate your tomatoes, people. It takes all the flavor out of it.
You know what? And homemade that mayo. It's just eggs. All
right. Well, that
it's not that difficult.
It's really not that hard.
No, it really isn't. I'm fortunate I've got a really talented wife. And we've been married now for a lot of years. More years than I'm going math right now on camera. But
she's gonna watch this later and be very upset with you.
You know, that's okay. I'm used to that. I'm used to figuring out ways to say, you know what, I'll make it up to you. But today I went and did the run to the grocery store, and so I literally brought home the bacon, and so I can maybe talk a little bit more freely right now.
And your $20 carton of eggs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have backyard chickens. So, for the first time ever, our backyard chickens are actually turning out to be very economical. You know, most of the rest of the time, eggs were so cheap that it really kind of was silly. But now, all of a sudden, seems like it's a steal.
There you go.
In your notes, people, buy chickens. Time is coming.
Stock up on them now. Get them while they're hot.
Well, one other thing I do want you to mention, isn't there going to be a certain special treat inside a certain special county basket at the convention?
Oh, yes. So my wife owns and runs a wonderful business called Bucks County Buttercream, and she makes these beautiful cake creations and cupcakes, and my absolute favorite thing is she makes what are called cannonballs, and they're also referred to sometimes as cake bombs. And they're delicious little chocolate morsels filled with cake and buttercream. And so she was generous enough that she's going to be donating some of those to our basket, which, you know, in turn, Bucks County is going to be donating to LPPA for conventions. So that's going to be in there, and there will be some wonderful little little goodies in there. So either bid high on that basket so you get them, or make really good friends with somebody else who did, so maybe you can steal one or two.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed them last year, but I ordered a cake from her since the last convention. I could definitely attest, best baked goods around. So definitely has Bucks County Buttercream, definitely has my endorsement. And I'll even say you should definitely buy an ad in the program for the convention, because you'll get a lot more business.
Yeah, you know, that's it's not a terrible idea for sure. You know, but I mean, like, how awful would we be of Austrian capitalist libertarians if we're not plugging good capitalist businesses when we have every opportunity to? Because it's just a beautiful thing when people go and they provide value to society, and they're able to make money through voluntary exchanges in doing so.
Yep, that's exactly it. So how can people follow what you're doing, Brandon?
Well, you know, I'm not really nearly as important as this entire movement. You know, if you're interested in seeing what I have to say, you can certainly follow me on Twitter. It's Brandon Bentram. I tell people to remember my last name as if you were riding a bike and you hit the curb and you bent the rim. It's spelled just like it sounds. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. But most importantly, I would just love for you to come and show up in person to Libertarian Party of Bucks County meeting, connect with us, come and interact with us, join some committees, get involved, even if you're only doing a little teeny tiny bit. All those hands help to move the work forward. And if you're going to the Libertarian Party of Pennsylvania convention, as I am, I look forward to seeing you, and I hope that you'll introduce yourself and shake my hand, and we can become friends. And whether you're going there to have some drinks or not, or you're going to smoke a little bit or not, or you're going to eat some red meat with me or not, you know, all of us can be friends as long as we want to get the government out of our business.
I'll tell you what, I will load every single one of those things you just mentioned onto a hand cart and drag it over from Bucks County to
Sounds like a plan.
All right, perfect.
Jamie, stop being frugal and buy his wife's cakes.
Anybody? Yes, and buy a generous convention package.
100%. Yeah. So should we end this like a Malice episode? You know what, Calvin? What has been your favorite part of this interview?
Well, I was going to give Jamie a chance to plug where people can follow him.
Jamie, where can we find you, man?
Back to,
oh my god, Jamie. I suppose primarily by Facebook. That's about all I have going right now. So Jamie Barton at Facebook.
All right. Well, you guys know where to follow me now. It's on here. I'm doing most of the social media at the moment. So, Brandon, what was your favorite part of this episode?
My favorite part of this episode is just looking at the beautiful people that I'm here with, and just knowing that this is a movement that is growing and it's becoming more and more of a threat. And you can tell the impact that we're making by how hard the, you know, establishment members of the GOP and the DNC are coming at us. And believe me when I say that the more success we have, the nastier it's going to be. The more the gloves are going to come off from those people, and the more attention they're going to focus on us. And we're going to just look at that with big old smiles on our face, because it means that we are growing and we are winning and we are gaining more and more influence from people who just want to live their lives and be left alone.
Well, you are welcome. And don't forget to take human action. Bye.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.